This Sunday morning, the first Sunday in August, it is a tradition here at Harbor of Joy to celebrate Holy Communion the first Sunday of each month, and we'll be doing that today. I'll talk a little bit more about that later as well. It's a special welcome to those joining us online. Thank you for doing that. We're blessed to be able to be together and celebrate our Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. My name is Chris Townsend. I'm the intentional interim pastor here at Harbor of Joy, and I just have a few highlights because some of you have already read them in the bulletin. Maybe you saw them up on the screen, but I just wanted to thank all of those who participated in Vacation Bible School this past week. They had a blast. They were doing all kinds of things, eating all kinds of good food too. So that was a blessing for me in particular on that one. So I appreciate that. The Grief Share ministry starts on August 4th. So Richard, wave your hand. See Richard if you would like to come, or you know someone who would like to be invited to that. That's coming up. Also, thank you for those of you who have filled out the information forms, the household information forms. Over probably 35 of you have done that. Thank you for doing that. There's more of them, blank forms for you to fill out, that are out in the lobby. Go ahead and pick those up and fill that out. Drop it off in the office. We greatly appreciate that. Some of you have even mailed them in. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate that. Okay, that's all I have. That was quick, right? Take a deep breath. Calm ourselves before God. Now I ask you to stand as we're going to go into our call to worship that is based on Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is also a focus text for us today. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer me. Answer, and by night, but I find no rest.
I am poured out. All my bones are out of joint.
My heart is like wax. It has melted within me.
But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by his people.
I invite the praise team forward as they'll be leading us in song.
In 1865, a sermon in Elvira Hall's mind, her mind started to wander. Sermons were longer back then. Thinking about three crosses that came into her mind on that hill, she wrote these words in her hymnal. The week before, the organist of the church composed a melody, and the words and the music fit together perfectly. Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thy all in all. Jesus, may it all.
Say,
and let the cross and say,
we walk.
passing praises. The worship leader, Terry McCollum, was praying before the service in 1986 in a church in Colorado when a song just popped into his head. He wrote the words on the back of an envelope and led his church in singing it that morning. Sing praises.
Praise team. Congregation may be seated at this time as the praise team will join you out in the pews as well. A wonderful Lutheran tradition, a Christian tradition, a biblical tradition is especially before having Holy Communion, we take time for a brief order of confession and forgiveness. You see it on the screen. We'll continue in that. Boy, my eyes are getting bad or the words are getting smaller. One of the two. Wow. Because about a month ago, it was okay. That's the same slide from a month ago. I got to look over here. I'm sorry. Or I'll just go out here with you, the people of God, which is good anyways. So let me continue as you focus on the screen and not this big red guy standing in your midst. How's that? We confess, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your holy name, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. God, we thank you that through your power and your grace we're able to gather this morning. That what happened 2,000 years ago at the Last Supper continues in our celebration of the Lord's Supper today. Be with us as we continue in our worship. Grant us your grace and your peace and your understanding, and may your Holy Spirit work in and through us. I offer this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, thank you. I might have to change the size of the font for myself on that one. Well, I'm going to share with you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, a wonderful scripture reading. You note in your bulletin that there's a page number for you if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible or simply hear God's word as I read it, starting at verse 45. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of the many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." This ends our reading. Well, I'm thankful to be with you here in the sanctuary and online as well. It's always great to have people join us when they're unable to be physically with us, when they can join us online or even watch us later. I know some of you have watched it later on YouTube and made some comments to me about what you missed, or maybe you took a nap during the sermon and you missed the whole thing. But Denny said, they used to preach longer sermons back in the day. Now, can you imagine if you were in Europe 500 years ago, you know what you'd be doing right now? You'd be standing. They didn't have pews centuries ago. And yet the preacher still preached long sermons. Praise God for padded pews. Well, it's an honor and blessing to be with you. This is the last Sunday of our water sermon series that we've been walking through for about 5 weeks. And I bet some of you are wondering about the title of this morning's message, Water and the Worm. You may have already noticed the mention of worm in our call to worship. That was there for you. And as we move forward, I'm sure I'll try and make the connection clearer. And, well, that's my prayer, to make the connection clear. Let's take a moment in prayer right now, actually. Father God, be with us during this time of sharing your word. Cause our hearts and minds to be moved by your Holy Spirit. I offer this in your name. Amen. Well, we have the Old and the New Testament. They both tell a story of Jesus, a story of his life and death and resurrection. Obviously, it's clear for us in the New Testament, but it's there in the Old Testament as well. We read in the Bible about Jesus fulfilling prophecy, and those prophecies are found in the Old Testament, over 300 of them, actually, that he fulfilled already. Earlier, we shared responsively during our call to worship based on Psalm 22. This psalm, Psalm 22, is a strong basis for today's message. That psalm was an insight, in a sense, into the crucifixion of Jesus. Yet it was written at least 1,000 years before the actual crucifixion of Jesus. This Old Testament picture of Calvary first shared with us about the prophecy of the cross. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Ring true. Verse 2, "Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest." These verses mimic some of Jesus' final words in the Hebrew language that he said on the cross that I just read a moment ago from Matthew 27 in the New Testament. We know the supernatural darkness took over the earth when Jesus was on the cross. And it happened at noon, high noon of the day, and there was darkness. Both day and night, in that same moment. Jesus was mocked. He was scorned. That's a prophecy fulfilled. He didn't fulfill it. His enemies fulfilled it. Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. That's more than 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross. And according to the Gospels, Jesus' bones were never broken. Yes, he was pierced, and blood and water flowed out of his side. There's that water theme again for us. Jesus' blood and water spilled from his side. This passage describes the agonizing passion of the cross. No human has ever suffered like Jesus did before he went to the cross and on the cross itself. He did that to pay for our redemption, to gain our forgiveness. Jesus suffered at the hands of three. Let me highlight that. First, the moment Jesus bore our sins on the cross, God's eyes, his Father's eyes, were too pure to look at him. He felt forsaken. Let's go back to verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Jesus is repeating that prophetic word from David. The second point, he also suffered at the hands of hateful man. Verse 6, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. And the third point, Jesus suffered at the hellish hands of Satan himself, the devil. All of hell's demonic power was concentrated on Jesus as he hung on the cross. But thank God, Psalm 22 also tells us, informs us of the power of the cross, of the provision of the cross. And as a prophet, and I'm not referring to Jonah. We spent a couple of weeks on Jonah recently, not referring to Jonah, but Jesus, who is the prophet as well. He is a prophet, and he also fulfilled prophecy. He declares, and as our great high priest, delivering of the faithful, those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want to go back to the worm for a moment. Some of you may be going, what's this with this worm? Well, let me explain to the best of my ability. This is not a common phrase, but I am a worm, we heard in Scripture. The Hebrew, which I can't pronounce, so I'm not even going to try, refers to Israel, the people, the chosen people of God. That's the point of the Hebrew word reference here. It's not referring to the location, Israel, the land, but to God's chosen people. This word is similarly used in Isaiah 41:14. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. So to be clear, we aren't dealing with worms that crawl on the ground. I tried to come up with an imagery for that. You know how after it rains, sometimes you get worms on the sidewalks and stuff? I don't think I've seen a worm on a sidewalk here for a couple months. I don't know what's happening with the rain here in Iowa, but it seems like we're in a little bit of a drought. I heard it rained well in southern Minnesota, though, recently. But it'll get here eventually. We aren't dealing with the worms that crawl on the ground, obviously. But I love this quote about worms from Winston Churchill. Famous quote. We are all worms, but I believe that I am a glow worm. Churchill was phenomenal. We're dealing with God's people when that worm referenced the people of Israel. Back in Psalm 22, I don't know if you're aware of this, but many theologians believe this is the most messianic psalm ever written because it all points to Jesus, the Messiah of the world. The many events described by David in the Psalms took place. They pointed forward, and Jesus fulfilled many of them from that prophetic word. all coming into that life that Jesus had here on earth and for eternity as the Messiah of all who confess him as Lord and Savior. David was describing his own feelings, the author of Psalm 22. At the same time, he was being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write about the future Messiah. So his feelings were being expressed, but God wove into those feelings prophetic words, and we can be thankful for that. The future Messiah, as many of you know, Jesus, a descendant in the line of David. Luke 18:38 calls it the son of David. So we have that. It's almost impossible to read Psalm 22. I encourage you to go through the whole psalm maybe later today. Won't take long. Psalm 22 is fairly brief. Now, if I ask you to read Psalm 119, some of you who know about Psalm 119 go, whoa, that takes a long time. But Psalm 22 is brief. Go ahead and read it later. But if you read it in whole, you'll go, wow, this sounds like Jesus. And yet Jesus, walking on this earth, won't appear for over 1,000 years. Psalm 22, which is on page 785 in the Pew Bible, the Holy Spirit points us to God's redeeming power, his redemptive work that will be accomplished on the cross at Calvary that Jesus did for you and for me. This psalm inspired Martin Luther 500 plus years ago to write the following. This is the kind of gem among the psalms, and it is peculiarly excellent and remarkable. It contains those deep, sublime, and heavy sufferings of Christ when agonizing in the midst of the terrors and pangs of divine wrath and death, which surpass all human thought and comprehension. Martin Luther loved this psalm and wrote about it multiple times, but I want to take a quick moment here to attempt to clearly understand Psalm 22, because it connects with Matthew 27 that I read earlier. You don't usually hear what I read, Matthew 27, that section I read, until Good Friday. That's the big deal on Good Friday, to read what Jesus said on the cross. Matthew 27 shares, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani. And it simply means, as you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine what Jesus was going through? The pain on the cross, the physical pain, let alone the emotional pain of acknowledging that his Father, God, had forsaken him in that moment. But why did he say these words, these exact words in Hebrew that we find in Psalm 22? I believe it was in part to call attention to the fulfillment of prophecy. The Jewish people, the leaders of the Jewish people, were all about looking for fulfillment of prophecy. And there Jesus was fulfilling it, fulfilling words that were written 1,000 years beforehand. Saying these words was a way to point out to the onlookers at the cross. People had gathered. That was common back in the day. People would gather to see people crucified. Go figure. But they would gather. And Jesus was speaking to the Jews as well as the Gentiles. We spoke about them last week. He was speaking to them through this Hebrew language in Psalm 22. And he was basically saying to them, look at Psalm 22. Don't miss it. I, Jesus, am fulfilling it. He wanted them to give focus to what was written so long ago. And this phrase shows up for us, this intense agony that Jesus must have felt on the cross. That moment when he felt alone. That moment as he's being crucified. The pain wasn't just because of the nails that went through his wrist and his feet. The pain was that momentary, I want to be clear about that, that momentary separation from his Father. And why was it momentary? In that moment, Jesus took upon the sins of the world. Your sins, my sins, sins in the past and sins in the future. Jesus took those sins upon him. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We're righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, for who believe in him. And the cross, all our sin was assigned to Jesus, and praise God for that. I don't want to carry that burden, and you shouldn't have to either. Give it to Jesus. If you feel weighed down by any sin, give it over to Jesus. Give it to the Son of God. In that moment on the cross, the Father poured out his wrath on Jesus because of the sins of the world. I think there's similar feelings from David 1,000 years before and Jesus as well, this agony, this sense of being forsaken, because David had that at times. So I ask you, do you ever feel forsaken in your life? Perhaps you've prayed for something and haven't gotten any answers about it. Perhaps you've faced a trial for maybe years and are just enduring it, not getting through it. Do you feel forsaken? Do you feel confused? Maybe like David did so many years ago. But we can learn from David and do what David did. He took it to God in prayer. He gave it over to God, knowing that God would care for him as God cares for us. The Psalms are filled with prayers like this. David, the author, and other writers of the Psalms often felt discouraged, forsaken, abandoned, even confused in their relationship with God. The beginning of most of these Psalms shows an intense struggle the individual, David in this case, is having. But as the Psalm goes on, the attitude starts to shift. And as the Psalm nears the end, the attitude has shifted. So is David forsaken? Are you forsaken? I believe clearly the answer is no. If you're a believer, real believers are never forsaken. We're not ever abandoned by God. Christians, Lutherans, believers, we are all held safely in the palm of God's hands and can give thanks for that. Jesus was forsaken in that moment on the cross so that you and I will never be forsaken. He took our sin to the cross so we don't have to carry that burden, that sin, so we don't have to bear it. When Jesus asked, "Why have you forsaken me?" to his Father, Father God, the answer is, "So that I will never have to forsake anyone ever again." Jesus is the way to the arms of the Father as well. We need to have a connection with him, he tells us this, in order to have a connection with the Father who will never abandon us, never let go of us. Know that however you may feel in whatever trials you're experiencing right now, Jesus faced far worse, and he's walking with you in them right now. If your flesh cries out asking why, know that Jesus is the truth, that he can come to you, that he loves you, he will never forsake you, and it was proven very clearly on the cross of Christ. Finally, what more is Psalm 22 telling us? What are we supposed to take away from that psalm, especially this morning? I think the answer is found in the last section of the psalm. Sometimes we read the first section of the psalm, oh my gosh, and then we get to the end, we're like, oh, I get it now. Psalm 22, verses 30 and 31. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet born, that he has done it. We are the posterity of the kingdom of God. We are the righteous. We are that coming generation that is mentioned here. Jesus' victory is no longer prophecy for us. It is our reality. And Jesus will always be victorious, no matter what struggles happen. He established the greatest victory ever in all of humankind when he went to the cross, but more so when he was taken off the cross, and even more so when he rose from the grave. He spread the word from the cross Now it's our turn to spread the word. Would you bow your heads in a moment of prayer? Father God, you did not abandon us. You gave us Jesus. Thank you. Continue to be with us, especially when we cry out to you. Refresh us with the water of life that only you can provide each and every one of our souls. We give you thanks for your grace and for your refreshment. And I pray this in your name. Amen. I invite the praise team to come forward as they share in another song.
Henry Smith composed Give Thanks in 1978 during a time of unemployment, financial difficulty due to a degenerative visual impairment that left him legally blind. He found strength in 2 Corinthians 12:10. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Give thanks.
Team, before we enter into the Lord's Supper and Holy Communion, some of you may have recognized that on the altar area and below on this table, we have some new additions into our community. The plates, which are called patens, the communion trays, which are holding the wine, and also the chalice. Those were a blessing that someone gave to the church through a memorial. We're thankful for that. It all came about through the Altar Guild, looking at ways to improve the setting for God's people. And the brass that has been present behind the altar, along the candles and other things, we wanted to bring all that together. So we have this blessing, and we're thankful for it. I also, before I offer a prayer of dedication for that, want to make sure that you're aware that now in the center of the tray, there'll be white grape juice, make it a little more distinct than the grape juice from the wine. So if that's one of the needs that you have, not having wine, but having white grape juice, that'll be available. I would ask that you join me in a prayer of dedication. If you bow your heads and just concentrate on the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. You provide us with blessings and call us to return them to you. And you invite us to share in your holy table this morning. We bring before you a new chalice, new plates, and individual cup trays. We set them apart today for the service of the Lord's Supper. Harbor of Joy receives them to share the blessings with your church, to hold the bread and the cup of blessing. We ask you to bless these vessels. May the hands that touch them and the people who drink and eat from them always feel your close presence. As often as the family of Harbor of Joy uses them to remember Christ's death and love, we ask that you renew our faith. bind us together in you, the Lamb of God. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, and with great thanksgiving we all say, Amen. Thank you very much. We'll now enter into the Lord's Supper. Allow me to move this out of the way for us. The praise team will go back to their families. I would ask you to please stand at this time for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. In the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread such as this, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then later Jesus took a cup. He gave thanks and he gave it to all the people, saying, This cup, this blood is from me. It expresses the forgiveness of sin for all who drink of it. May we be blessed in his memory and blessed through this cup of his. And together we are blessed to share in the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The community may be seated at this time. Simple instructions are on the screen for you. In a moment, you'll be able to come forward and kneel along the communion rail as you desire to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the form of wafer and wine or the white grape juice. The same can be for down here as well, if that works for you. For those assisting with communion, if you could come forward at this time and prepare with me and prepare as you, the congregation, prepare for this blessing. Receive the post-communion blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ, bless you and keep you always. Amen. I'd ask you to bow your heads in a time of prayer. I want to offer a prayer of thanksgiving and then prayers for the people as well. So God, we pray. We give you thanks for all that you give us. We give you thanks for the recognition of the blessings of Holy Communion and the power and the grace that it offers each and every one of us. We thank you for that. But we continue to follow your word and your guidance, as Scripture tells us, to give of our first fruits, to give of our tithes and offerings. So Lord, those tithes and offerings given this week, today in particular, to glorify your kingdom here within Harbor of Joy and beyond these walls, we give thanks. We ask you to bless them and keep them and provide more of them so that your kingdom can increase in our community. And we continue to pray for your people. We give thanks for the blessings of Vacation Bible School, not just for the children that experienced it all, but the adults as well. We thank you for the blessings this past week. We also thank you for the Blessing Box Ministry and all who donate items. We pray for Meals on Wheels here in Milford. We be with those souls who prepare, deliver, and receive these meals. And Jesus, we pray prayers of thanksgiving. As people are in recovery after being ill, it's always wonderful to get good health news. We thank you for those returning to worship. We also pray for those that are ill, such as Mr. Maya in Tanzania. We pray for Marlene and Lynn as they go through their times of struggle. We include all those who are homebound within the faith community, and we pray for their caregivers as well. And now we take a moment to name in the silence of our heart those we personally know that need your comfort, guidance, and healing. We take that moment. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Jesus, for being the great healer, for being the Son of God, that is the healer, as well as the one that takes away the sins of the world. And God, we also thank you for those serving on the call committee and the call process. May you continue to guide them. May your spirit be in their midst. And I offer this all in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And we all say, Amen. I invite the praise team to come forward as we're going to be singing At the Cross, Love Ran Red. I invite you to stand at this time as well.
At the Cross was recorded by a fairly recent group called Hillsong. The writer Chris Tomlin said, and I quote, "Where your love ran red and my sin washed white is a simple and beautiful way to share the gospel."
There's a place where mercy I'm
Blessing to be able to be part of a church that enjoys life together. Receive the sending blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.